Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Doug. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to have you with us tonight.
Yes, tonight we've got open lines and general anomalous research discussion, and we're going to invite our listeners to call in with your own cases, interesting stories, and even points of passion, if you will. And so please join us if you can. Don't be shy. You can call in on the number that's on your screen. It is 347-945-7799, or you can use that click-to-talk button if you have a headset on your computer. We do have one caller on the line right now, and if caller, if you will be patient with us, we're going to talk with Bonnie Korniak first. Bonnie's on the line with us. Bonnie is a Paranexus certified field investigator in Florida in the St. Pete area. She's also a field investigator and the state section director for the west central part of Florida for MUFON. Hey, Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great. And, of course, Bonnie's on the road. She's probably going to some big high strangeness case, right?
As a matter of fact, I'm en route to over to the Green Swamp Wildlife Management Area for a sky watch we've organized with various clubs around. And after the show tonight, want everybody to step outside with their cameras, check out the sky above them, take a camera with you. Sometimes UFOs can show up in photographs that you haven't seen with your naked eye. We're going to collect the data, and, you know, we hope to make it a regular thing.
Yeah. So that's 10:30 Eastern time tonight, so it's a half hour after the show ends. And if you've got a clear sky, go out and take a look. Even if you don't, you never know.
So what do you do on a sky watch, Bonnie? What can folks expect if they come out? Are you looking for things?
You want to be able to, you know, identify all the celestial objects, you know, be able to tell the difference in, you know, aircraft that might be in the area or, you know, any known objects and anything outside of that. You want to make a note of it, no doubt.
Yeah.
So hopefully you've got somebody that knows a little bit about what the sky looks like and where the constellations are and the how to differentiate between a star and a planet.
Exactly, and I would certainly recommend, you know, somebody, you know, might want to check out Stellarium or any of the other software programs that are available and give you a, you know, real-time viewing of what objects are, you know, in the sky above you at any given time.
Yeah, and if you're a Paranexus member, you can go to the Research Assistant. There is a sky map on that page that will show you the stars above in your area and position of the planets and so forth. Now, Bonnie, what kind of suggestions can you give to folks if they by chance happen to see something? I mean, what kind of stuff do they want to record about it?
Okay, well, you want to get, you know, keep your eyes on the object. If you have a, you know, camera, video available, you want to take that. You want to be able to try to judge the distance of the object, the height of the object, and, you know, the degree off the horizon it was when you first saw it and when you lost view of it. And, let's say you want a determinant flight path. You want to look out, you know, remember as many details as you can about it.
Yep, and obviously the flight path, the direction, the part of the sky, the basic
exactly.
stuff, that maybe even the angle, the number of degrees, I mean, in the sky. Is there an easy way
right.
you use for that?
Well, a standard measurement, of course, 90 degrees is straight above you, and the horizon would be zero.
Yep. So, and of course, in between that's 45, so.
Exactly.
I know when I was a kid, I was taught your fist, if you hold your fist out, it's approximately 5 degrees from top to bottom. So, anyway, those are some good points. And if our listeners did participate in this and they do happen to find something, even snap pictures or even have experiences, please email them to us at admin@paranexus.org. And we will, of course, share those on the forum and make them available to our members and to Bonnie, and I'm sure she'll do the same. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe we'll get some interesting stuff. And, you know, this would be cool to, as you mentioned earlier, to make a regular thing. You know, it'd be a great research project for
exactly. I know of a couple other groups that would be interested, actually, nationwide. So, you know, we could have, you know, quite a group out there, you know, at any given time.
Yeah, and, you know, and just make it a joint collaborative effort among...
And like, buy a keg, and then people will be seeing all kinds of things, you know. Oh, I'm just kidding, yeah. But seriously, no, that's a great idea in order to get a lot of folks interested. If nothing else, they'll learn something
exactly.
about the sky, and they'll learn something about the constellations, and learn to be able to know the difference between an airplane and, you know, a helicopter and, you know, a small jet or whatever, because it's all in the configuration. A lot of times airplanes coming at you can look pretty strange, depending on their
exactly.
angle of approach or where they're coming towards you, off to the side. It's fascinating stuff, so.
That's right. I'd also like to mention as well that if there's any listeners in the Tampa Bay area, you know, that would like to meet up with us, they can just go to the Tampa Bay MUFON group. We've got a new website up. Or you can email me at tampabaymufon@yahoo.com. And we've got our first meeting coming up February 13th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll be at the Clearwater Public Library at 1 o'clock. And you can just go to our website for more information on that or shoot me an email.
Great. And what's the website once more?
I'm sorry. Oh, it's meetup.com/the Tampa Bay MUFON group.
Cool. Well, Bonnie, thanks so much for joining us and with that idea. And again, we've got a Skywatch 10:30 tonight, Eastern Standard Time. If you get anything, any pictures or have any experiences, please email them to admin@paranexus.org, and we will share those with Bonnie. Of course, she's a member of Paranexus anyway, so she'll get all that stuff too. So.
All right, thanks so much,
yeah,
guys.
Hey, keep up the good work out there, Bonnie.
Hey, I appreciate it. Keep your eyes on the skies, man.
Right.
Absolutely. Take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night. All right, so Bonnie Korniak, Paranexus CFTFI field investigator. And
Ranching out into MUFON now, too.
Yep.
You know, it's great. We're really fortunate to have Bonnie, and, you know, she brings... a lot to the table for us at Paranexus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, want to encourage folks that are listening to, you know, you got an interesting story, experience, investigation, something you'd like to relate. It can be about hauntings, it can be about UFOs, it can be about anything anomalous, anything in that field. We'd love to hear from you. Our numbers are on the screen, 347-945-7799. If you have a headset on your computer, you can also use that click-to-talk button there on your screen, and we'd love to hear from you. We do have someone who's been holding for a bit. Welcome to Paranexus Universe. This is Doug. Who am I speaking with?
This is Paul.
Hi, Paul. Welcome to the program. You've got an interesting story, experience, investigation?
I've got a couple things. Both me and my fiancé were
founders of Ouch PI here in Oregon, and we've been practicing some EVP work, trying to get that down, get the knowledge down, and analyzing it and everything. And we've had a lot of interesting things happening just EVP-wise. We had one where the spirit said, Kelly, it's your dad.
Is that your fiance?
So that was pretty interesting to hear.
It's Kelly,
and
your
then
fiance.
Another day, we actually had one that I totally think that it was my grandpa, because my grandpa always called me sport growing up.
Uh-huh.
And he said to my fiance, because she's part medium psychic, she just doesn't have the full in tune of all of her abilities yet. And just straight up told her, you know, that he's proud of me. He's glad that I have my fiance in my life, and ended up telling her, saying sport to her. And
wow.
She relayed it to me. So that was really cool. Just enjoying.
So where did you get those? Where'd you get those EVPs at, Paul? Was that in your home or your grandfather's home?
It was
home
in my dad's home, in my master bedroom.
And what were you using to collect those EVPs? An analog or a digital recorder?
Digital recorder.
Wow.
Good deal.
Yeah, they were pretty clear. The one that we didn't catch was one of my grandpa. I didn't have it going, but the ones that we did catch were the one that said, Kelly, it's your dad. There's also another one that said injured souls, which I am still trying to figure that one out. But just a lot of weird stuff when we do the EVP work. And she's getting more in tune with her abilities as well. She's just going to be pretty much doing all the medium stuff and psychic stuff, kind of like paranormal state.
And you guys are based in the Pacific Northwest, if I'm remembering correctly. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I've actually looked up one place, and this is kind of weird, and I want to check it out once I get all of my equipment up and running. Apparently, there's a phantom boat that the Coast Guard has chased down, and then all of a sudden it disappears.
Wow.
Out on the Willamette River. So, some definitely weird things going on, even in Oregon.
Yeah, so how many people are in your group, Paul?
Right now, just me and my fiance. Okay. I'm trying to figure out kind of how to get word out, how to advertise that I'm out here. I'm probably going to be fully up and running in February.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, that's great. Well, cool, Paul. Thanks so much for calling in and talking about that stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
good
not a
luck
problem.
Out there.
You know,
all right, you have,
doing EVPs, you know, at times it can be really weird and kind of good, though, too, and especially if it's like a loved one. And I totally believe with EVPs that, you know, not every EVP that is caught is of just any type of spirit. It could be a loved one that's just coming by and checking in on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing your stories. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we got some... got some interesting stuff there. Of course, EVPs are always rather fascinating and good stuff. I love doing EVP work. We do have another caller on the line, so let's go to our lines. Welcome to Paranexus Universe. What's your first name?
Jamie from Florida UFO Radio.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hey, Jamie. Welcome. Nice to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks. Great show, guys. Been going great.
Well, thanks.
So you've had some cool experiences as well, or sightings, or?
Oh yeah, yeah. Last November, here at my house, I had my first sighting. I live about 40 miles south of Tampa Bay, on the Gulf of Mexico in Inglewood, Florida.
Oh, you're in Inglewood.
And,
cool.
Yeah.
Florida.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and
so are you in South Inglewood?
No, I'm right on the county line, right on the 776 on the county line.
Yep.
And
after
I had my first sighting, I started researching full time, and I found a guy in Venice that was reporting UFOs daily. So I got in touch with him, and told him to call me next time he's seen one so I can go out there. And the problem was he was sky watching at 5 in the morning, so it really didn't work out well.
Yeah, that's got to be rough, you know.
He works overnight, so I was getting calls at like 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, I wasn't answering. So we got together the first time on the 13th of April, and we seen 13 objects that night, and of course, a few of them, if not most, were satellites. Back at that time, we had no equipment, but we kept holding sky watches, and we kept seeing these things, and we were checking Heavens Above, Cosmos Portal, SpaceWeather.com, and NASA Human Spaceflight Tracker, and we were seeing some weird stuff, so we called out Billy Cox, who writes for the Sarasota Herald Tribune, and is very well known. We invited him out to come out and see this. You know, we were looking for a credible person to confirm these sightings.
Were your sightings primarily over the Gulf? Is that where...
No, I mean, they come from all directions.
Okay.
And the first time he was out here... About an hour went by with no activity, and I was like, great, now we got a guy out here and nothing's going to happen. But to our surprise, right off the Gulf comes this huge, they're all star-like. They reflect sunlight, so they all look like stars. And it was big, it was circular. And as it was coming from the west to the east, but as it was moving, it was wobbling. North and south, and right when it got 90 degrees above us, another one came from the southwest, shot up to it real fast, slowed down, went right next to it for about 4 seconds, and then shot off to the southeast while the big one kept wobbling and going east. So Billy Cox was pretty much dumbfounded. We all had cameras in our hands, but we're all just sitting there staring at it, and nobody filmed it. But we've gone on. I bought a $4,000 night vision camera, and since then I've caught 100 objects on tape. Billy Cox has been out here 5 times. He's written 6 articles about the stuff he's seen out here. And you know, we started the Skywatch group. It's not too big. There's about 12 members, but there's 3 or 4 main members that go to each watch.
So when do you guys do your sky watches?
It's not set on a certain day. You know, we try to make sure the weather's going to be good, mostly sometime in the middle of the week and then once on the weekend. But we've learned some interesting stuff over the year we've been sky watching, and the activity is strange because it picks up for about an hour, and then it just drops off. And we start right after sunsets, right about when the first star comes out, and about a half hour after that, the activity usually starts. And it lasts for about a half hour, and then they just drop off like nothing. So I was thinking maybe the sun's angle and reflection, because as it gets later, the sun drops farther, and its reflection, you know, these objects aren't made of light, but they are reflecting light, so maybe that has something to do with it. But yeah, we filmed a lot of them. I'll pop my YouTube channel in the chat here when I'm done talking to you guys.
Cool. Well, that's interesting. So have you had any other interesting sightings or experiences?
Yeah. The weirdest one we caught, which did not transfer on tape as good as it was in real time, almost looked like a light bulb coming from the south, it blinked on. I told everybody to turn that direction. We started looking. It turned on, and then it started going straight up. And as it was going up, it split in half, and the bottom half free fell, and the top half kept going. Yeah, and I got it on tape. You can actually see it. You can see it split in half. And
any idea where the bottom part landed?
No, no idea at all. I kind of think it landed by this, there's like an old folks retirement home down there in Gottfried Creek, and if I had to guess, that would be the area where I think it may have landed. We have done some other stuff, too. We all showed up for a Skywatch one night, and it was too cloudy. So we went over to the Englewood Cemetery, which is right across the street from me there. And we had some EVPs there. I caught some really, really nice orbs, real orbs, energy orbs that were way above treetop level. And, you know, I don't really try to mess with that side of the paranormal, but that night was pretty fun.
Interesting.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's... Cool. I don't know what's going on. You know, they got the Northport Devil guy up there. He's kind of weird. We went up there when that story first broke. We went up there and didn't see anything. And then the MUFON director that was handling his case sent me the report. And the guy has some strange theories. He thinks his neighbors are dragons and stuff like that. But he's been posting some alright videos lately of either satellites or he's timing the ISS flyover or something because, you know, the ISS is flyover like every other week.
Are you also with MUFON, Jamie?
No, I'm not with MUFON. I did join Bonnie's group when it started up, and I'm the one that I told her about the Skywatch, and she thought it'd be a good idea for us all to get together and do a Skywatch together.
Yeah, and so
well, maybe Doug and I can come on there someday because we're not that far away from you and participate. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
I think I'd kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, any time. You guys are welcome to come out anytime. Anytime.
And just to reiterate, if you're late joining us, we had Bonnie Korniak on at the beginning of the show, and we've got a Skywatch set up for tonight at 10:30 Eastern. So if you're able to participate, go out at 10:30, take a look at the sky, take your camera, see if you see anything. And if you do happen to have any experiences or catch anything, email it to admin@paranexus.org, and we will share it on paranexus.org website. So. Well, Jamie, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you getting to know you a little bit. And
all right, let me just throw out, if anybody wants to see the videos that we caught, I'll put it in the chat. But for people in archive, it's youtube.com/user/JAMIES941. Jamie's 941.
Great. Yeah, we'll have to take a look. Thanks so much.
Hey, we'll look forward to hooking up with you, Jamie.
Yeah.
All right, man.
We'll
anytime.
All
right.
All right.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Take care.
You too.
All right. If you'd like to call up and share your interesting story, experience, sighting, anything to do with anomalous research or anomalous phenomena, please give us a call. The numbers are on your screen, 347-945-7799. If you are at your computer with a headset, you can use that click-to-talk button. We'd love to... hear about your stories, and don't be shy. I mean, this is a very informal program. It's really easy, so you don't have to be nervous.
Yeah, you all know us. This is, you know, this is Doug and Grant. Pull up your easy chair and tell us what it's about, or tell us what you've experienced.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of folks have had a lot of things happen, and, you know, maybe you've had something that you think is truly remarkable in some of the research you've done. Share it with us. We'd love to hear it.
Absolutely. Well, since we're talking about interesting experiences, might as well relate one or two that we've had, huh?
No, sure.
While we wait for the flood of phone calls that I'm sure...
Yeah, we can do that.
Right? I want you to browbeat our audience into calling us, all right? Would you do that?
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? You know, we're going to be like those evil spirit ghosts, and if you don't call, we're going to do a reverse directory check, and we're going to, like, come to your house. We're going to haunt you at home.
Yeah.
Not really, folks, because that won't work, but no, come on, call in. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, I will tell you about my first UFO, and so far my only UFO sighting. It was surreal. It was amazing. It was in Colorado probably a year and a half ago. Actually, it was just at the end of May. We were on an investigation and all kind of sitting outside taking a bit of a break. It was a very pleasant evening, very clear. And we were in a subdivision, so we had houses around us. But we were outside the backyard and just kind of sitting around. There was about five of us out there. And it was about 10:15 one evening. And one of the investigators who happened to be looking up, just all he shouted was, "Look, look, look, look." And everybody looked up. And there was I suppose, a fleet of about seven of these oblong lights. Looked like dashes almost. They were in tight formations zipping across the sky. And I'm guesstimating altitude of approximately 20,000 feet. Give or take 5,000. That's just the best estimate. It's hard to tell height on that. We saw them for about four and a half seconds before we lost view of them as they zip past the sky. And I estimate that they had to have been moving in somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000 miles an hour. The reason I say that is because if you track a plane across the sky, which I've seen a zillion times, they were obviously much, much faster than that. So that's just an educated guesstimate. But it was an amazing, amazing experience. I'd never seen anything like that.
No, I've never. I've always been open to seeing one, you know. My wife always says if one landed in the backyard, I'd be knocking on the hatch cover trying to talk to him. But, no, I never have. I always look and... you know, I'm hoping one of these days I'll have my socks knocked off because I'm the type of person that if I see it, nobody's going to tell me I didn't.
Yeah.
So no, I really can't say as I have.
Well, on that same investigation, I also had another fascinating thing happen. I mean, this was a great investigation. I will give you that. It was a PK event, psychokinetic. I was sitting at the table in the kitchen. I was the only one in the kitchen, and about 10 feet to my right was the kitchen sink and so forth. I was the only one in the kitchen. Everybody else was outside, and I'm sitting there. I'm working at the computer, and I hear this noise, and I look up, and the kitchen sink turned on. I mean, the faucet turned on, the cold water tap, and it was, you know, the sink's running. There's nobody there. And I go over and I check it, and it's the sink faucet is got the knobs. It's not the single one where you raise it, but it's each the hot and the cold's got a knob. And so I checked it. You know, I very deliberately and carefully turned it off just to check the movement of the knob, and it turned off fine. And then I turned it back on, and there was a little bit of tightness in it. I mean, it you know, some speculation as well. What about water pressure and all that? I looked under the sink, didn't see anything out of the ordinary, and I'm familiar with under the sink on that type of thing. So that was fascinating. I don't know what caused it. Don't know what caused it all, but it happened right in front of me. Another thing on that same investigation, the television and the cable box turned on four times by themselves, four different times in afternoon. I was there for three of those. I was elsewhere for the fourth one. And after the first time, we collected all the remote controls, put them on the table. Now that one, you know, little probably easier to explain perhaps, but the TV and the cable box weren't in the habit of turning on by themselves, according to the client. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, in that particular case, you had a lot of PK stuff that was going on, which had to be really interesting. Regrettably, I wasn't there to join you that time. I would have liked to have been. But you know, in our investigations, we've had some from my experience or from my perspective, stuff that I found very tantalizing. Nothing that really, I'm still waiting to see an apparition. I've yet to see one of those. So nothing that dramatic, but little subtle things that have been, kind of fascinating. One case, and I'm sure you recall, Douglas, we were investigating an older public building in Central Florida area, and it had a reputation, or not a reputation, it had a history that went all the way back to the 1800s, and there had been a lynching in that area where the courthouse had originally stood about 100 years beforehand. And we, of course, like most groups, we work with psychics, and we had several of our best psychics with us there that evening. And nobody, as far as we knew, of course, one can never absolutely with positively rule out the possibility of contamination. But for the most part, we trust these folks because they've been with us for a long time. And some of the hits that they got were very remarkable. And one of the ladies came up to me early in the investigation, or about midway through the investigation, and said, in the rotunda area of the courthouse, said she kept seeing a man who was very emphatically telling her, "I'm a man," and she found that very puzzling and confusing, and she didn't know what it was about. And I think somebody else, one of the other gals who had some abilities later on, felt that she's felt that people were lynched. But the thing that was so interesting about it was later on, after the investigation was complete, Lori came to me and said to me, "What was that all about? Tell me." And I said, "Well, Lori, the interesting thing that you didn't know was that the fellows that were hanged who had assassinated the sheriff in this town, they were the Mann brothers, M-A-N-N. And yeah. Both of them were hung, and so maybe that's why he was emphasizing the fact man, and it didn't make sense to you." So that was an interesting coincidence, or it just really was very, tantalizing, if nothing else. That's just one of many. There were several that we had.
I know, and that's the kind of stuff that we get occasionally with the psychics that, it tends to mean something. I mean, they didn't know anything. And, can the skeptics say, well, maybe they did research beforehand? Well, when you get to know people and you build a trust with them and you get to know who they are, and that stuff just isn't an issue anymore. You know that they're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. And if they were, you'd figure it out sooner or later.
Yeah, they'd probably get way more hits than they usually do. So, but we also had some interesting times when we investigated the Cuban Club. That place was, to me, very active. It just seemed, just from the vibrations in the building, and for me, the vibrations there felt, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination a psychic, but the vibes there felt very good. And I know that there had been acts of violence that had been committed at that place at one point in time, but nonetheless, I kind of felt it as a happy place where people were ooping it up and entertaining and enjoying the arts, and it was kind of a very cool place.
Yeah, well, good.
One of the things that was interesting, here's the other thing that was interesting about that case, okay? Not so dramatic. We were investigating the theater. There's this beautiful theater on the second floor of the Cuban Club, and it's an old traditional movie theater that kind of slopes down to the stage. And the stage, I'm guessing that stage is probably 100 years old or close to it, maybe more. And as we were going into the stage, we're climbing up to the back, walking up these stairs, we kind of moseyed onto an area close to where the actors in the old days would be in the wings waiting to come on or resting after they'd done their part. And I had a flashlight. The gentleman next to me had a pretty fancy camera. They both quit at the same time. I'd never had that happen before.
Yeah.
Never.
That's something that
was very interesting, because they had new bulb in it and had new batteries and everything else. It just quit. Didn't start up for the whole time, the rest of the time that we were there. But Gregory was with us, Gregory Kent, and it was really dark in the stage. And we came to one area, And Gregory said, don't, he stopped and he paused, and I could tell that he was picking up on something. And he said, don't go back in there. And we said, well, why? And he said, well, just don't go back in there. And so one of the guys had another flashlight, and he came back with his flashlight, and we shined the flashlight in the area that said not to go in. Well, there were holes in the floor. Hmm. We would have fallen through the floor. There was no way Gregory could have seen that, felt that. You know, it was almost that whatever spirit was there, or if it was a spirit, was saying, you know, well, through Gregory, you know, it's unsafe. So that was really an interesting experience, too, because, I, you know, in all the investigations we've done, I've never had an equipment failure like that or seen it with somebody else.
Yeah, you hear about it, but that's just something that we've just never run into much. I don't know why. Right. Just haven't. But.
Well, how about you? In retrospect, what do you think was one of the most significant things that, because you had the spirit team, you know, a while before I came on board, anything significant stand out in your mind in the old days of the spirit team as opposed to what we, you know, some of the investigations we had as Paranexus?
Yeah. And let me just segue into this, or at least add this in. Just want to reiterate that if you have an interesting story or experience, or what have you learned in anomalous research, which has been significant to you, you know, one of the things that we try to do here is get input from others, share your knowledge, share your expertise, what was noteworthy to you, what did you learn, maybe when you started to do this, what was meaningful to you, what stood out, kind of what Grant's asking me. And if you have something like that, don't be shy. This is easy. And call us up. We'd love to hear from you. Numbers are on your screen.
Yep.
In my opinion, and you know this, Grant, but I'll tell everybody else, you know, one of the most noteworthy things to me as I look back over the years, the things that I learned from doing the investigations and the research was not so much, I mean, there were times when there was some paranormal phenomena that I just couldn't explain, but to me, in my background, in my interests, the most fascinating thing about it was when we really didn't find something paranormal, where we found people who absolutely believed that they were experiencing paranormal phenomena, and we could not substantiate that, and we had other clues that told us that perhaps it wasn't paranormal at all. It was something to do with their lifestyle, with their own makeup, with their belief system, and so on. And I'll give you an example. One of the first cases I did a few years back was, in fact, it was the first case I did, you know, officially as a team. And it was a little boy. He was about 10 years old. And he claimed he had a mother. He didn't have a dad living there. Anyway, he claimed that he went to bed and he was being bothered by some angry spirit or some evil spirit. He said that a shadow came out of the mirror and attacked him. The chair next to his bed was said to be hovering. Either his mother or his mother's partner had come in and saw him and saw the chair hovering in midair, so they said. So we did this investigation, and we could not find anything. Well, in interviewing the client, the mom, she was from the Philippines, and she was extremely superstitious. And her belief system had really fallen, you know, on her son. I mean, he had really picked up so much of what her superstitions were. And that's all we could come up with. I mean, there was just nothing there. So,
well, you know, one of the interesting things about that tape was the tape that you guys got where the kid was, where it sounded like to a mother who was very suspicious, it sounded very sinister. Yeah. And to the unseasoned investigator, they might have thought it was paranormally significant.
Mm-hmm.
But tell them what the deal was with that, Doug.
Well,
technically,
this woman had kept this tape since the boy was four. I mean, he was 10, so she'd had it for 6 years. She played it for us that first night. It was on a microcassette tape recorder, not a digital. And it had freaked her out for years, and it's a rather interesting tape. The little boy, the four-year-old, he was playing around with the tape recorder, just as a little toddler would, and just, you know, kind of sing-songing and saying his name, Nicholas, you know, and just kind of da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, you hear this, Nicholas. You hear this really deep voice, and then you hear the little kid say, yep, my name's Nicholas. And it just freaked her out. And, you know, of course, when we heard it the first time, you know, hair stood up on the back of our necks and thinking, holy crap, what's this? You know, I mean, that's one of the clearest EVPs I've ever heard. And so I took a copy of the tape. I copied onto my digital, and I took it onto my software. And I've had a lot of audio experience over the years, and something just didn't seem right to me. And I got looking at it and playing with it, and I thought, you know what? It sounds like the tape has been sped up. And then played back, it would appear slow. So what I did was I took that section of the tape where with a low voice, and I sped it up by about 80%. And lo and behold, it was a little boy's voice. So putting two and two together, on these micro cassette recorders, they have a switch. You can go, you know, normal speed or fast speed. So what he'd apparently done was, as he's handling this thing and playing with it, he had switched it into fast mode. That means it recorded faster than normal. So on playback, the voice is, when it's playback at normal speed, the voice is going to sound very deep and low. And so we were able to present that to her and alleviate 6 years of literally terror on her part.
Yeah, and you know, it was all because of a mechanical device on the recorder that caused the boy's voice to be distorted. But, as you talked about before, Doug, it fed right into her belief system.
Yes.
Right into her belief system, and you know, I agree with you, Doug, 100%, because the most fascinating thing about our research has been the psychological aspect to a lot of the folks that we've gone out and talked to. And you know, I don't know who made the famous quote, but it goes, you know, there's no such thing as haunted houses, but there is haunted people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in many cases, many of the cases, you know, that is what's actually going on. Now, I'm not ruling out the fact that individual may have some psychic gifts or some intuitive abilities that we just, or that they're not aware of, or that they're just becoming aware of, or that they've always kind of suppressed.
Well, it's what's interesting to me, and this is not the only case where this is apparent. What's interesting is the woman, the client, believed in her superstitions. And when she heard that tape, oh my Lord, it was it. I mean, this was evil incarnate. I mean, this was it.
Call the exorcist, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so what's interesting about this, and I'm not sure I can verbalize this correctly or accurately, but what's interesting is all these years she's freaked out about this tape and all kinds of stuff going through her mind. What's going on? Are we being attacked by these evil spirits? Are we being harassed by these evil spirits? And the reality of the matter was, no, they were not. It was all contained in a belief, in a very, very profoundly deep belief, and yet the reality of the matter was there was nothing there. And so it just goes with what's been said by many people, you know, whatever you believe is true for you. It's your reality. Your belief is your reality. So taking that and applying it to other aspects of our lives, what other areas of our life could that apply to? Even other areas of our investigations. I mean, one of the common things you see on TV shows is, of course, it's all the drama thing. You know, they're scared. They don't want to go into this place. Or they're in a room that's freaking them out. They've got to get out. Well, where's that coming from? It's coming from a belief. The fact of the matter is that spirits don't harm you, can't harm you. They just don't. If they could, there would be so many instances of these spirits attacking people.
Well, I know one person that I'm in close proximity to that would have been squashed like a bug.
Oh yeah.
And that's you, Mr. Doug Kelly. We always kid Doug because folks, he get out on an investigation. He if there's supposed to be something someplace, Doug will bring him out.
I try, but you know, try not to be mean or anything. But you know, if the whole thing is about the boundaries thing, I mean, if there is something there and something is bothering people, they have no right to do that. And so it's a keen sense of justice here. You know, what are you doing here? This is not your home. This is not where you belong. You can't just come in here and move things or touch people or appear to people. It startles people. It scares people. You need to know that. You know, they can't help you. Go to one of those shining beacon psychic lights that can help you, not just any old one. So it's
certainly a large component in many, many cases. But I think one of the things it does for investigators is that you really have to be on your toes, because what if you get a combination? What if you get a real mixed bag where, yeah, maybe there are some psychological aspects, but what if there's some real paranormal activity going on there? How do you separate the wheat from the chaff? So those investigations, although, you know, sometimes you're tempted to go, oh man, this person, you know, is kind of out there and they're not wrapped real tight. But then there may be other things from other people that live in the house that don't share the same, you know, quite the same belief system as that person, that may make you think otherwise. So it's really a very fascinating part of investigating the whole field, and a thing that can't be, it has to be weighed so very heavily in what's going on in an investigation. It really is an interesting.
Yeah, especially with the client. I mean, the first step in being a paranormal researcher, an investigator, is understanding human nature, understanding yourself, having a good self-concept, a healthy self-confidence, and understanding people. Understanding the psychology of people, human nature. And that's why the CPI course goes into it so heavily, into a personal investigator's self-belief, into human nature. And the CLPI course, the leadership course, goes even further into that. It's what it's about. You have to know people, and you have to be able to explain some of these different things that do happen, because it's human nature. You rule out that stuff, then you're in a much better position to identify any potential anomalous phenomena that's going on. That's one of the things that I'm not so sure that the vast majority of researchers or investigators understand, that it's not about the equipment. It's about using your mind. It's about going in with a good, healthy self-concept, groundedness, rational thinking. And anybody who's got that, they're not afraid to go anywhere. I mean, nothing scares them. Oh.
And just that steadiness and that kind of professional demeanor will go a long way to helping the client. You know, when you talked about, you know, when you talked about the power of belief, you know, I recall very distinctly a case that we investigated in Tampa, in an upbeat scale neighborhood in Tampa, of a fairly well off individual. It was a lady, and later had her house decorated very nicely, but just doing the walkthrough in the house, within the first 10 or 15 minutes, you're just literally bombarded by all of these religious and philosophical icons that are all over the place. You know, we're seeing stuff like the I Ching, and we're seeing things like there's books and texts on Buddhism and Eastern religions, and at the same time, then you see some of the demonology and then all these different icons. It was almost as if the woman there felt that she was going to draw on all of the powers, religious icons, across multiculturally to protect and save her.
She was honestly in a very precarious psychological state.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was sponge painting, and she had her front room walls painted with sponge painting. You know how that works. You know, you take a sponge and you paint with a different color. And so what's going to appear is all kinds of different patterns, random patterns. Well, one of those vaguely resembled an eagle. And she claimed that eagle had come off the wall and flown by her, and boy, she was in a tough state.
She was dealing. One of the things that was interesting about her was that she seemed to be dealing with a lot of guilt in her life,
yes.
And that guilt in her life, for whatever it was that she was not comfortable, seemed to be, you know. And I'm not a psychiatrist, but it seemed to be kind of manifesting itself in some of her fears. You know, it's like that was almost externalizing her discomfort into her living surroundings to try to get some relief from the guilt she was feeling. And this was not a person. This was a professional person.
Yeah, she was a professional person. She was, you know, she made a good living, a very, very good living in a very nice home, but she was wrecked. That guilt was literally like a cancer eating her from the inside out, and it was unchecked. Now, fortunately, I don't know, it was a week or so, perhaps, after her investigation, she called me, and I'd had an opportunity. She was in a car, in her car somewhere parked off the side of the road and somewhat distraught, and I had a chance to talk with her for about an hour, and I just coach. I mean, I do coaching anyway, life coaching, so I talked to her and coached her and was able to help her, and I think it did help her a lot. Hadn't heard from her since, and I can only hope that she was able to get it worked out and do much better, because she was an attractive woman. She had everything going for her.
Yeah, and it was just too bad that, you know, she had those kind of feelings, and, you know, that she felt that she had done something so bad that it's bad enough to worry about real people, but my goodness, if you're worried about supposedly people that are beyond this realm or plane of existence, it's got to be pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Pretty miserable to feel that those folks are at, you know, are dissatisfied with you too.
And that's something that we have to outline here or bring out in the open and put out on the table, is that when you're a professional anomalous researcher, that's part of the job. You know, you help people to understand this whole thing better. And I will tell you, that's a hugely important part of the work that we do. We help people to view this stuff in the proper way. One of the things, when cases come into Paranexus, so they want a researcher, they want an investigation or something, the first thing I do is call them, get a little bit of a better idea of what's going on. And this happens so often that it honestly kills a lot of the cases, because I almost resolve them on the phone. And the thing that I talk to people about is about boundaries and viewing spirits in a proper way. They can't harm you. And if a person came in to their home and started moving things around, what would they do? Well, they would stand up for themselves. I ask them, you know, if they've got kids, if a stranger came in off the street and was trying to scare your children, what would you do? Well, I'd call the police. I'd stand up. You know, the maternal instincts would kick in. And that's all they've got to do. And so when I teach them how to view spirits like you would any other human being, and not to be afraid, because there's nothing they can do, be more afraid of humans because, you know, they can kill you, it really changes things and take your power back. That is the essence of resolving a haunting investigation, even an abduction, I will go so far as to say, is to take your power back. You know, that's where the person's self-belief, self-concept, healthy self-concept comes into play. Yet take your power back. You don't allow others to encroach on your boundaries in an unhealthy manner. So, interesting stuff. I wish we could have gotten some more calls, and perhaps a future show we can get some more call-ins, but we do appreciate the ones that did call in tonight, some interesting stories, and if you missed those, be sure to pick up the archive, and you can hear some of those stories. And don't forget that tonight, here in a little over half an hour, at 10:30 Eastern, there's going to be a sky watch, a number of people participating. All you got to do is go out and look at the sky. If you got a camera and you see anything interesting, snap a picture. If you have any interesting sightings, be sure and email them to us at admin@paranexus.org, and we will share them with everybody who's doing that. Of course, this is orchestrated and organized by Bonnie Korniak, a Paranexus field investigator, and also a MUFON field investigator. So hopefully there'll be something to come out of that tonight. If you're not a member of Paranexus, we'd love to have you join us. Paranexus is a nonprofit anomalous research association. We have all kinds of different members who are in different aspects of research. We research not only parapsychological and haunting type phenomena, but also ufology, abduction, anything anomalous, and we feel that there's a lot of overlap there, so we'd love to have people who are into that seriously come and take a look. You can find out more information at paranexus.org. Trying to think of what else we got. Next week, we have Dr. William Roll, who's going to join us again. He's been a couple of years since he's been on the program. If you're not familiar with Dr. Roll, you need to be. He's obviously an icon in the field of parapsychology, even coining the term RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinetic phenomena, and he's going to come and talk to us about quantum entanglement in parapsychology. Fascinating stuff. He delivered a paper a year and a half or so ago in, I think it was in Switzerland, it was in Europe at least, on that very same subject. So if you want to really have a learn some interesting stuff, be sure and join us next week for Dr. Roll. If you would like to be on the show, you have something to share, some passionate point, something like that, don't hesitate to contact us, admin@paranexus.org. If you know somebody that you'd like to see on the show, please send us an email and let us know about them, and we'll try to get them.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, you don't always have to agree with us. I mean, we would even allow a demonologist to be on our show.
Yeah,
you know, we have no problem, you know, we don't adhere to it, but, you know, you can come out and state your views.
Yeah.
We may not agree with it, but you know what? I'd love to hear from a demonologist who has been able to exorcise somebody and the circumstances in regard to that.
And speaking of exorcisms, again, I mentioned this, I think, last week, but one of our members, Gaurav Tiwari in India, he's an airline pilot in India. He wrote a fascinating blog article on possessions. It's on paranexus.org. If you go take a look, it's Spirit Possession and Reality is the title of it. Excellent, excellent. And I've talked to him, and we're going to try to get him on the air in the coming weeks to discuss that case that he did. He just handled it beautifully. So, folks, we really appreciate your time tonight. Thanks to those who called in. Thanks for everybody who listened. We appreciate you, and we'll hope to see you next week with Dr. Roll.
Everybody be safe and have a great weekend.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Sky. It's Paranexus Universe.